And we are recording.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Insider, brought to you, as usual, by Vanishing Ink. My guest this week used to be an underground card guy, but I think the kind of cat's out of the bag now and he's just too well known to be considered underground. Master of Marlowe, the person that literally wrote the book on the Zaro Shuffle, Steve Reynolds. Steve, how are you today?
Oh, I'm well, Damien. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for giving us your time. But we've got no time for pleasantries. It's a 30-minute show.
Oh, okay.
So, first of all, what's your origin story? You've got 24 seconds.
24 seconds. Well, I got into cards before I knew about card magic. My mom taught me to shuffle and deal and cut because they all played Pinochle and, my family would get together. And so cards were always around, and so I learned that very early. And then, a few years later, I was about 7 or 8, I saw Reading Rainbow, which was a show, a kid's show, and they put on Harry Blackstone Jr. And that's really where it, caught my eye. And then I got a book when I was 9 on called How to Do Tricks with Cards, and I didn't even know there was card magic. I didn't know there were card people. I didn't know anything about it.
Sure.
And I'm like, holy moly, I can do this with the thing I already love, basically. And then it was all downhill from there. Of course, I grew up watching Harry Anderson on Night Court and Penn and Teller and... So, that was my formative years in the 90s, and then I got the magic world of The Amazing Randy, which was a kid's magic book that I got at the bookstore, just in the mall, And in the back was a list of SAM, IBM, and some magazines. And it was right. Genie that caught my eye, Genie in the Bottle, poof, it's magic. Mm-hmm. And so I got that, and that's where I first saw the Brother John Hammond ad from Joe Stevens. Mm. And actually, cut back 1 year, I had gotten Counts, Cuts, Moves, and Subtlety. Uh-huh. And so I spent my entire year just practicing the counts. No tricks. There was no tricks in the books. I had no idea what these were for.
So why were you practicing?
I don't know. I was fascinated with cards early on, And it just sort of...
But there was no end goal.
There was no end goal.
You just sat there practicing counts.
I was on the trek somewhere into nowhere land. I don't know. It was fascinating. And then slowly I sort of was introduced to these. When I got the Hammond tape, that was the first... time I had ever seen card magic. I was 15.
And you were what 15. Age then? 15.
So right. From 7, 8, 9, up till then I had some of the Dover books when I was 10, 11. Yeah. Of course, I couldn't read Expert Card Technique. I could have looked at it upside down and got the same amount of... Because I had no... But there was no magicians around where I lived, as far as I knew. I later found out that 20 minutes away was Mark D'Souza. I grew up outside of Philadelphia.
Right.
And, of course, I live in New Orleans now. But, yeah, I was pretty much on my own. No internet, just my books and my friends and Brother John Hammond, watching him on TV.
Sure.
And that was where I learned how to actually handle cards. And I think that's where I got that slower, softer touch, I guess.
Soft touch, yeah.
Casual.
I think you're probably most well known for your work on the Zaro Shuffle. Two questions. Mm-hmm. What makes a good Zaro, and what's the most common mistake people make when they're trying to do a good Zaro?
Well, what makes a good Zaro is realizing that it's not a isolated technique. That it's part of a larger group of techniques. It's like what Marlowe called a system. Well, of course, Erdnase talked about system too, but Marlowe had the riffle shuffle systems, and it's really taking these techniques and putting them together and how they relate to. So basically, is to understand it's not some isolated technique. Like when I was a kid, I learned Two Shuffles Harry from Hammond's tape. I didn't know about Herb Zero. I didn't know about anything. I just knew that that was the second step in this trick that I wanted to learn.
Right.
And, of course, Hammond did it very openly, kind of, I wouldn't say sloppy, but blocky. There was not a lot of cover. There was just this sort of back and forth action that worked for me, you know? But later on, when I started studying the Marlowe stuff, I realized how all these things were connected. All these fundamental ideas were all part of this group of other shuffle ideas. And so I think the main thing to remember is that it's not some, you don't learn a move just to learn the move. You learn it as part of, you know, what are your goals with it and all that. So you got to take all that into consideration. But I think the main secret is learning the fundamentals. And learning the fundamentals of riffle shuffling, which can be applied across the board. So you're not just learning the Zero right. fundamentals. You're learning shuffle fundamentals. And then you apply these other techniques, say the strip out, you square up, the Zero square up, different square ups, of course, but they're all based on this basic structure. And sure. So that's I think the big secret is knowing that it's not this isolated technique. Because when I ask people to show me their riffle shuffle, it's very nice. And then when I ask them to do the Zero, it's like a different, it comes from a different planet. It's not a matter of, you know, they say make your false shuffle look like your true shuffle and vice versa. It's just you should be shuffling in a particular way that any time you add anything to it or anything false to it, it's not a big leap to get to there. You're already established your structure, your shuffle structure. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I learned from watching Marlowe on the Primetime Marlowe tape. When I got that in 94, I think. And this was a few years after I got the Hammond. And I watched him, you know, it was like, blew my mind. That was like really the first time I was started thinking about it in isolation. You know, but then right. when I got more heavy into Marlowe's shuffle work, I realized how connected all the ideas were, you know, and how each move or each idea was related to the very fundamental techniques of grips and splitting and riffling and squaring. And I basically analyzed Marlowe's technique down to the... I mean, basically, what I did was I looked at, in slow motion, every finger. And I worked, what was his pinky doing? And I would only work on that. And then I'd look at the third finger. I mean, on the left hand. And then I'd work across the fingers until I was over to the right hand. And then I'd work pinky all the way to the first finger again.
You've spent a long time studying Marlowe. What attracts you to his work?
I think he was the granddaddy of the card man's soul. You know, I mean, he was, to my mind, the epitome of what a card man is. And I learned that from my teacher, Rockerbauer. I grew up talking with him on the phone when I was 16. I started talking. He was the first magician I started talking to when I was 16.
Right.
And, of course, you know, to be a student of John, you have to be a student of Marlowe. And I'm glad I did it.
So Rockerbauer pushed you to Marlowe.
Right. He never really taught me, like, here, put your finger here, do this, do that. He just basically gave me some hints and would point me in certain directions. And, of course, the main direction is Marlowe, you know. What drew me to him as I continued was his attention to detail, his thoroughness in the crediting, even though people don't really agree with that, but they don't actually read the books.
Wow.
You know, they basically listen to other people and they don't do their own research. And then they wind up repeating things that just aren't factually true. And,
right.
But, yeah, it's the attention to detail
and the crediting.
And the fact that he didn't just isolate techniques. These were part of a rich group of interconnected ideas. Like when I did the Marlowe roadmaps, somebody asked me to, I said, is there a video you want to see or learn about Marlowe? And I have a Marlowe group on Facebook, and Marlowe Monday group, it's called. And he wanted to learn the side steel. Talk about the side steel. Okay. So I'm like, man, I remember doing a lecture in Michigan about, oh, I don't know, 15, 20, it's probably 20 years now. I'm losing track. My stories are, I'm 43 now. I have no idea what year it was. I used to know this story. I really did. but
something, something, side steel.
But the main point is that the guy just didn't have the basic grips. He didn't understand that if you, the reason right. why the card keeps missing your palm is because your palm isn't where it needs to be when the card's there. And so I realized over the years that a clear understanding of those fundamentals is key. And that's where you're going to get the touch, you know, the controlled casualness, I would call it. You know, Marlowe is known for precision, and in some places he's known as very tight and mechanical, but if you actually watch Marlowe's work, it's very casual, natural. It fits his style is very open and casual, you know. I mean, Vanishing Ink put a, I think, one of the best, second to Primetime Marlowe, that little... I think it was a 30-minute little talk that he gave at the PCAM in, I think, 83. And just watching him handle the casualness, almost offhanded delivery of the most complex little ideas is inspiring. And I think that's a really great great video to watch if you're not familiar with Marlowe.
Okay, so imagine I've never studied Marlowe. Where should I start? What's the best kind of progression to understand his work?
It's not easy, because the way he wrote was, as John put it, you know, stream of consciousness. He wanted to get down every idea. And not, again, not necessarily to take credit for it, though he was very big on his creative output, and especially after being called a thief for so many years, even when he was a kid, with Doc Daly and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. Mm. There's no, you know, that's not going to help you become a better card man by learning all these controversies. But so it's just part of my hobby, you know. Sure. Everybody needs a hobby. but it's to look at the, and it's not easy, but like I was saying with the Marlowe roadmaps, I did 7 of these, and it was basically taking the very fundamental ideas. So you take, say, the side steel, or you take table palm. This is the part of the Revolutionary Card Technique series. And what are the related ideas? What are the basic forms that sort of Marlowe built upon, like the end grip, what he called the angular grip when he was doing the table work, to shuffle work. And I realized that that particular grip, or that the fingers are angled, like an end grip, you'd have your fingers in the front and the thumb in the back. But the way the fingers are angled provide incredible cover. Whether you're holding by the sides, if you're doing a riffle shuffle, or you're doing a side steel or a cut, you're holding a break, or what have you. Those are those basic ideas that form the groundwork of the more... See, some guys, they just want to jump into the end game, which is learn how to do all the complex stuff. When really, the only way to really get those more complex ideas is a mastery of the fundamentals, the basic forms. Okay. And so you start there. You learn control of those basic ideas, basic grips, basic actions and all that. And then that gives you the control then to later add more complex ideas and introduce your own style, your own delivery. But no matter what happens,
right,
you always have that control. And so those basics are what you need to focus on. Nobody focuses. I mean, I don't want to say nobody. I don't get out much, Damien, so I really don't know. I don't know. But you know how people say, everybody out there, they don't know what they're talking about. But in my experience, I see it. I go to conventions and I see guys, and they're very good. But some people that are inspired to learn, they want to jump ahead when really they should take the time to learn those fundamentals. But the problem with Marlowe is the fundamentals are all buried under, within this complex writing. You know, this, you know, all the details are in there. How do you untangle all those? Where do you find the fundamentals? Well, you got to read slowly. Take your time. You're not going to read a Marlowe book and say, okay, I have a gig coming up tomorrow. I'm going to do the side steal tomorrow.
Of course.
No. It takes a long time. But you work smart. You take your time. You reread. And you practice the basics. That's my advice.
Andy and Josh tell me that you are at your best when you're sessioning with magicians. What's your secret to that? What are your sort of favorite effects to perform in a session environment?
Everything. I don't know. I don't have any particular. I did not grow up around magicians. I was not around magicians for many, many years.
You lucky thing.
I know. I feel very lucky. And so I am just ecstatic when I get to spend time with them. It is my favorite thing to do, to sit and session and talk cards.
So do you think that's actually the secret, that you just love it?
You just have to love it.
Yeah.
It's like Vernon said, you gotta love practicing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to just, it has to be a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to just, and it's got to be a delight.
Let's talk about your new book, Beyond the Z, as I would say, or Z, as you may.
Uh-huh.
Tell listeners about the content.
Well, I put a subtitle on the front cover, just so people would know. Everything but the zero. <You know? laughs>
So people don't buy it thinking that's what they're going to learn.
Yeah, and they think it's more zero. So, but it is more, it's taking those fundamentals of what I was taught in the Z and applied it to some other shuffles. And then Marlowe's cover-up shuffle, which he did in that kind of group as well, but I had a thing called the bottom line zero. So I had worked on this idea of staggering the deck during a shuffle and a strip out, which allowed me to do this sort of false riffle shuffle, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a false riffle. You were actually not shuffling the cards. It was a fake riffle shuffle. I mean, the right. Riffle part was faked. The cards were never separated completely. Which is the Spider-Man shuffle now. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few years back. But back then, this was 1999-2000. And that was underground at the time I found, because I put it up on the second deal and fully described with my inspirational sources and what my thinking was. And then it was Paul Wilson who informed me that basic idea was being kicked around and experimented with by him and Ing Bloom and Tamariz and guys like that. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Hey, no problem.
That must feel nice.
That's cool.
That must feel nice.
You know, it's nice when that happens. Some people get upset. It's like, oh, I thought I was a genius. You are. You're just late. That's all. Yeah. You're just lazy.
You're as clever. You're as clever as these other people.
You just have bad timing. That's all. No, but you know, that's fine with me. You know. So then I thought, okay, fine. If those guys are all rooting around in this little approach, I decided to go. While they were busy doing this, I mean, figuratively, of course. This is how I think, you know.
Sure.
I love magic. Anyway, so I said, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. Because basically what I was trying to do was get to that top-to-bottom square-up look. I mean, Zero was going for that so that there's no cut afterwards. But I wanted visually to see all those cards go in and all. So that was my idea. Now, develop the bottom line Zero, which was, I'm not going to expose that, but it's just a technique that allows you to make that look. I don't mind sharing ideas, but this is probably going to go out to so many people that they don't need to know this right now. You know?
They don't know. Need to know basis, Reynolds. Need to know need basis.
So anyway, and then I started applying that to other shuffles as well, and I spread the deck out, which gave a nice look of, you know, it's popular now to spread the deck to show your shuffle. You know, the spectator gets to square them up and all. So I started applying that to other shuffles. And so that is the second part of the Beyond the Z, which is those techniques, those fake shuffle techniques, right. Not Zero related, but, and even though some of those other, the dribble way I get into one of them doesn't even apply that angular grip until you get to the, so that's not sort of like a follow up to those, that idea of the angular grip that I had in the Z. Hence, Beyond the Z. Again, there we go. So anyway, I just this book is about all my shuffle stuff and some of the other things that I had worked on over the years. So, but and then Paul, you know, had informed me about that on the site, and so I decided to try a different tact and worked out some pretty cool stuff. And then when Jason and Paul were going around for the, they did the documentary that they did a few years ago. They were traveling around
Our Magic, Our Magic, right?
Art of Magic. Yeah. But, you know, Dan and Dave covered that. And they came to New Orleans, and they wanted to talk about the Zero and all. And I'm looking at them at in the hotel lobby that they were staying at. And, you know, I've known Paul for many years, and I just met Jason a few years ago, and I think Paul's great, and he's okay, too. No. Well, anyway, I was inspired by Paul early on, so it's nice that they came over to talk. Sure. I'm looking at him because I had been wanting to put the Zero stuff out for years, but, all kinds of different things. Should I put it on DVD, a book, both, whatever? And I'm looking at these two, and I'm like, would you guys be interested in helping put out my shuffle stuff for the Z? And they said, sure. And that's how that came about, the Z DVD. And so, anyway, I don't know why I put that part in.
But I like
it. It's part of the history, you know.
It's good. What level is the book aimed at? Do I need to know Marlowe, or can I learn stuff if I just buy Beyond the Z?
Do you need it? It would be a big help. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But it's, you know, understanding, and in the beginning of the book, I talk about the proper grip and the angle of the hands.
Okay.
But I don't go into detail on the riffling action and the squaring action. And basically, the Z is about how to maintain that cover grip from beginning to end. It's really how to manage that grip. Because a lot of, you know, you start here and the hands go up and the fingers splay out and all kinds of things happen. And I teach in a very systematic way. It took me a while, but I figured out a way to teach the Zero or to teach shuffling in a clear and direct way, so guys that can't even handle cards, you know, have never shuffled on the table in their life or tried to, and it's like, you know, just horrific. I hate to say this, but it's you should never do that to cards. That's not never. So, but I figured out a way to teach those guys. And boy, I'm telling you, in the workshops, I had people jump up, IBM members get up, go, "I did it!" You know, they're so excited. The best thing, though, is that when I take a break to go get a Dr. Pepper, the guys are still at the table and they're talking to their friend. They're like, "No, you got to put your pinky here. See how it goes?" And they become the teachers. You know, that is, to me, that is the best part. When they become proficient and they feel they've got a grasp of it and they know it, that they can share it and help out somebody else. I think that's great. So, not expose it on YouTube, but, you know, help somebody else.
Yeah. So what's next for Steve Reynolds? What are you working on now?
Well, right now I have a monthly booklet. It's not a magazine. It's, my friend says, we'll call it an amazing. I don't know if that... So I kind of like that. It's funny, but I don't know. But it's called Output, and it's basically my way of getting my material out, some unpublished Marlowe out, some of my friends' stuff out. But it's things that I care about, you know. It's not just gathering a bunch of material every month from random people. It's a story. It's the backstory of things and sharing further ideas on some of my older stuff and putting in some Marlowe stuff that necessarily wouldn't be in a larger book per se. I guess it could be,
but right.
It's kind of not connected right now. So I'm on month 3. This October issue is coming out shortly. I'm working on that. I'm also, I have a number of items from Rocker Bomber that Marlowe related that I'm working on. In fact, I have these photographic, old school negatives. Mm-hmm. And now that we have the technology, because it can get expensive when you have a whole box of those.
Hell yeah.
But I have a friend of mine gave me a really nice camera as a gift with a macro lens, which is really close. You know, it's really, you know, you could take a picture of a fly's eye, you know, it's really close.
Sure.
And I got an app on my phone, and I have a nice version of Photoshop, so I can do it all at the house now. So I'm taking Marlowe's, some unpublished Marlowe items, and getting the photos out from the missing photos out from these. And also original photos, even stuff from...
So these are photos of Marlowe doing this unpublished Marlowe stuff.
Yes, were used for the drawings, but I have the original negatives.
Oh, wow.
So what I plan on doing is a series of large books on Marlowe's work, unpublished, and connecting it to the published work.
We finish with 4 quick-fire questions, Mr. Reynolds. Are you ready?
Yes.
What's your favorite pizza topping?
My favorite pizza topping is mushrooms.
That's weird. That's 3 in a row that's been mushrooms. That's 3 in a row that's been mushrooms. After the eccentric, Tina Leonard, and now you. Your favorite movie?
Young Frankenstein.
Favorite person that makes music?
Ian Anderson.
Ah.
Jethro Tull.
And finally, who would you rather fight, 100 tiny Joshuas or 1 massive Andy?
How many Joshuas?
100 tiny Joshuas or 1 massive Andy.
Oh, let's go. Let's take down Andy.
Okay.
Take him down.
So if people are interested in... the Knot Magazine monthly booklet, where should they go to find out more information about that, Steve?
SteveReynoldsMagic.com.
Boom. Thank you so much for your time, Steve. It's been absolutely fascinating. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to speak to us.
Thank you.